Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you everyone for coming out tonight. These vaccine passports are driving me insane. Can you believe there are stores that would rather have no customers than to allow someone shop without a vaccine? I went into a store recently to buy a chaise longue. The gene therapy bouncer said, "I cannot sell you this unless you show me your vaccine passport." Like he is the only store selling furniture. I can go on OfferUp and just buy one from a regular person for half price. He said he would rather have no customers than to sell me any furniture without my online passport. He said that everyone needs to know everyone's health records now. So I asked him, "When was the last time you took Viagra? Did you ever have an irregular period?" Whenever someone gets hooked, they go broke. I talked to the manager. He told me it is not his fault. He said they might have to close their business because no one wants to work for them. So I asked him, "Why would someone want to work for you if you make them wear a scam all day and they need to get a gene therapy to come in the building?" He said he can make employees even take a microchip. I told him, "Well, good luck getting your unemployment." He said, "I don't want to die from getting Rona." I told him, "Don't worry, you will die from the Rona gene therapy." What a rube. You really have to be a stupid if you think you need the same gene therapy every 6 weeks to stop a disease that has a cure rate of 99.9997%. There was a guy that got the Rona vaccine. He died in about 10 hours. The doctor said it could have been much worse if he did not get the gene therapy. How much worse would it be than death? Is the CDC going to arrest you in your next life? Is God going to say, "I was going to let you into heaven, but since you did not get the anti-human gene therapy, you have to go see the big guy downstairs"? There is a big thing with liberals now. They say there is no such thing as gender. Seriously. They say, "I hate gender." How do you hate gender? It is like saying, "I hate numbers." All numbers should be the same. These liberals. They think that men can now get pregnant. Yes, it is true. They think Donald Trump just banned men from getting pregnant. But Biden somehow legalized men having babies. These jokers think seriously that eggs somehow can chase down sperm and get them pregnant. Liberals also say there are over 1,000 genders now. My only question about all these new genders being made up as we speak: what do these new private parts look like? I just want to see what these other parts look like in case one replaces my junk. On the planet I live on, you either have a hole, or a hole puncher. But the liberals say now if you are comfortable in the private parts you were born with, you are a bad person. Why would you spend your life hating yourself because you were born with or without junk? They call it being cisgender. They think if you have a hole puncher, and are not sad about it, that you are an evil Trump supporter. Like you live on Macho Mountain. Like I spend all day swinging it around. I don't spend my entire day thinking about my epic junk. Okay, I am going to leave it right here. Remember, if a store requires a vaccine passport, a gene therapy, or wear a scam on your face, please go someplace else. Order online. Do not give these companies the satisfaction. If we all stop buying from these tyrants and go someplace else, we can fight this. The more we comply, the more tyranny they will give us. Peace out, my freedom-loving friends.
Good Sunday morning out there in Free From Paul Radio Land. Welcome to our Sunday program. It is January 29th today already, believe it or not. And we're going to just continue right along with our compare-contrast that we started last week and start with this one. What constitutes for one to be called an apostle? And this can all be found in Acts chapter 1. Number 1, men which had accompanied with the 11 apostles all the time that Adonai Yahusha went in and out among them. Number 2, beginning from the immersion of Yahuconan, that would be John. And number 3, unto the same day that he was taken up from them. So must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection? That's going to be Acts chapter 1, verses 22. And there were two men that met all of those requirements, and therefore lots were cast in order to determine which of those two men would replace Judas, and it was determined that Matthias actually replaced Judas, not Paul. So then let's go over Galatians 4:14 and take a look. Though my physical condition put you to the test, you did not despise or reject me. Instead, you welcomed me as though I were an angel of God, as though I were Jesus Christ himself. So there, eyes open, basically is a red flag, a clue that Paul is putting himself in the place of the Messiah. Taking a look now at Psalms 119, verse 142 from the Suffer. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your Torah is the truth. And then in Psalms 119, 144, the righteousness of your testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live. And then you have in Matthew 5:18, till heaven and earth pass, one yod or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the Torah, till all be fulfilled. So there we have three very firm witnesses from the prophets and the Messiah stating that the law will not pass away. Then you have Romans chapter 7, verse 6, which of course was written by Paul, coming down and knocking that over. But now we are delivered from the Torah, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. So next we will take a look at Luke chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before Eliam, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of Yahuwah, blameless. No, in no wise, for we have before, then you have Paul, Romans chapter 3, verse 9. No, in no wise, for we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understands. So, again, complete and total contradictory statements. Then we have in Revelation chapter 20, 12. The Sephirim were opened, and another Sepher was opened, which is the Sepher of life. And the dead were judged of those things which were written in the Sepherim according to their works. And behold, this is going to be Revelation 22:12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. So again, two proofs that we are judged according to our works. It's interesting to note that the book of Revelation comes after Paul's life and after the Messiah walked and taught the disciples, was crucified and raised from the dead. I should note, raised himself from the dead, which is the opposite of what Paul states, because the book of Revelation is very crucial in this way, because it serves as a testimony after the rest of the story, and therefore should serve as a testimony that clears up any confusion. If a group of people can come together and read all of the disciples' work, the Messiah's work, and Paul's work, and stand confused, then Revelation should serve as the tiebreaker, so to speak, the one that puts the exclamation point on what the truth actually is and clears up any confusion. And does it side with grace or does it side with works? It sides with works. So therefore, if you're following Paul's grace-only gospel or saved by grace gospel, you really need to read the book of Revelation and the warnings that are presented to the churches. So those are the two verses in Revelation. Again, the Sepherim were opened, and another Sepher was opened, which is the Sepher of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the Sepherim according to their works, Revelation 20:12. Revelation 22:12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to his work shall be. Then you have Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Okay, just one moment while I check the dashboard from time to time. If you are out there listening and would like to call in and join in the conversation, our phone number is area code 319-527-6208. That's 319-527-6208. And next, we're going to look at Daniel 11:32. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries, but the people that do their Elohim shall be strong and do exploits. I'm sorry, but the people that do know their Elohim, that's an equivalent to what most people call God, which is a pagan name. So we use replacement names on this program, and I'm not very good at pronouncing them, so forgive me. But we also find in Matthew chapter 13, verse 41, the Son of Adam shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do transgress the Torah. And yet Paul says, for Christ is the end of the Torah for righteousness to everyone that believeth. If an angel from Yahuwah preach any other gospel unto you than that which I have preached unto you, let him be accursed. So, and he is basically cursing the followers of the Father in heaven because we follow another gospel. We follow the true gospel of the Father that was brought to us by the Messiah. And then Paul does a switcheroo on it and scares all of his followers into some kind of curse coming upon them if they follow anybody but Paul. I would really like to look those verses up. Let's see here. Because they're not noted on what I'm looking at right now. So let's do that. That's going to be found in Galatians 1:8. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preached to you, let them be under God's curse. And I've had people quote that to me, and basically they're cursing me when they say that, but they're also causing me to make note of the fact of who their God is. Their God is Paul. Their Elohim is Paul. Because if they're giving Paul the power to curse and to bless, they see him as a deity. And that I want to stay away from. For one, let's see, for Christ is the end of the Torah for righteousness. Let's look that one up, and it may be just the preceding verse. Let's see here. Well, I'm looking that up again. 319-527-6208. Press 1 to come out and speak. For Christ is the end of, see what exactly did it say? For Christ is the end of the Torah for righteousness. I would say that's pretty in line with flattery and indicative of fulfilling Daniel, for sure. Okay, so Romans 10:4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. So that can be found in Romans 10:4. All right, next we're going to take a look at 1 Corinthians 6:12. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me. I will not be brought under the power of any. So there, again, you have Paul declaring himself as a head of deity, that he answers to nobody, and that he can do anything he wants. That's 1 Corinthians 6:12. Next, let's take a look at Matthew 23, verse 8. Be not called rabbi, for one is your master, Messiah, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father, which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, Messiah. Matthew 23:8. Though you have countless masters in Christ, you do not have many fathers. I became your father through the gospel. Be followers of me. 1 Corinthians 4:15, again, direct opposites between what the Messiah tells us and what Paul tells us. How can both be true at the same time? And if they cannot, then whom will we choose to follow? That's the question. It's no longer about following every word in the Bible that was canonized. It's now about realizing that the canon is a test that presents to us two different paths, one way to life, one way to death, and we must choose. And hopefully, we choose life. Next, we have, let's take a look at some verses in Acts and Proverbs, and then look at Romans. So, we have Acts chapter 9, verse 7, and the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. Acts 22:9, and they that were with me saw indeed the light, and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And Acts 26:14, and when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me. So in Acts chapter 9, verse 7, the men stood with him. In Acts 26:14, they were fallen. Discrepancy. In Acts chapter 9, verse 7, the men heard the voice. In Acts 22:9, they heard not the voice. In Acts 26:14, they heard the voice. Discrepancies. In Acts chapter 9, verse 7, they did not see the man. In Acts 22:9, they saw indeed a light. And then it doesn't address that in Acts chapter 26, but also noting in both Acts chapter 9 and Acts 22, Paul was not told what to do on the spot. He was told to go to the city and he would be told. And in Acts chapter 26, he's told on the spot. And what's interesting about what happens in between Acts chapters 9 and 22 and Acts chapter 26 is that Peter confronts Paul and says, you know, playing devil's advocate here, even if I were to believe you, there's a problem because the way that you say that this entity you claim is the Messiah spoke to you was an admonishing way or one in which he would speak to somebody who is being admonished. And all of a sudden, Paul comes up with another version that's very flattering toward himself in being commissioned with a goal and a purpose on the spot rather than told that he would be told what to do in the city. And then you have him in one of his epistles stating that he escaped the lion's mouth, which another problem in coming to the truth is all the timeline of all of these books that are written is jumbled. So if you can know that his claim to escaping the lion's mouth was in between Acts 22 and Acts 26 because he was presented with a challenge that would have exposed him had he failed, i.e. Peter's questions of him, but he escaped because he came up with a story that he was then told on the spot. But what actually happened was he threw all of us, quins, if you will, a rope and basically revealed himself by changing his story. He proved that he's a deceiver, he's a liar, because you can't have two completely opposite outcomes in the same story and not have one of the outcomes be a lie. And if one is a lie, he's a liar. which, by the way, in Romans 3:7, he tells you he's a liar. You believe everything else he says, believe him when he tells you he's a liar. If my lie lead to the truth, why do you yet call me a sinner? He's telling you that he's a liar. 2 Corinthians 12:16, he tells you he's a deceiver. Right, straight out, admits that he is a tricky one that caught you with flattery, beguiled you with trickery. So think it definitely possible that he is the fulfillment of Daniel 11:7, because it looks more and more like that as you do your digging. So when the apostles, this is Acts 9:30, when the apostles learned this, they brought Paul down to Caesarea and sent him away to Tarsus. So the assemblies throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace being built up. So Romans 3:7, okay, this is interesting because I was telling you about Romans 3:7 without even seeing that that was a part of this presentation. If through my lie God's truth abounds to his glory, why am I still being condemned as a sinner? There you go. Proverbs 6:19. Ali him hates a false witness who breathes out lies and one who sows discord among the brothers. So let's stop and take a momentary commercial break there, and we'll be right back.
Looking for something different? Looking for something fun? Join Dan every Monday on the Freedomizer Network, 9 to 10:30 Pacific, noon to 1:30 Eastern, for Common Sense with the Educated Redneck, Dan Ellison. The show about everything and nothing at all.
Please check out the Barefoot is Legal radio show right here on Saturdays, 1:30 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time. That is 10:30 a.m. to noon Pacific Time, as we show you all about your barefoot rights and living a barefoot lifestyle. And for more information about the 501c3 nonprofit Barefoot is Legal, please check out barefootislegal.org.
All right, welcome back. So next we're going to look at Matthew 5:44 and compare it to Galatians 1:8. That's Matthew 5:44 compared to Galatians 1:8. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Verses Galatians 1:8. If an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which I have preached unto you, let him be accursed. So that's another interesting way of looking at that verse, contradicting the Messiah. So then let's take a look at three verses on side Father in Heaven versus one verse side Paul or team Paul. So you have Revelation 21:8, the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Revelation 22:15, for without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Matthew 10:16, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents. Romans 3:4, but every man is a liar. So basically that's contradictory, because Romans is stating you have no hope if you're a man, if you're a human, because you're a liar. As a human, you're a liar. You need my free grace message. Whereas the team Yahuwah, so to speak, is definitely stating that the group that are liars will be punished, and by so doing indicates that there's a group that are not liars, that are righteous. We took a look at a verse earlier that indicated this as well. So next, let's look at Proverbs 16:33. So one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Master Yahushua went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these men must become with us a witness to his resurrection. And they put forward two, Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was also called Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, you, Yahuwah, who know the hearts of all, show which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place. And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from Yahuwah. So next, let's take a look at Proverbs 15:29 versus Romans 3:10. Yahuwah is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. Versus where Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. So where does it say that? He's quoting scripture. He's saying, as it is written, you know, he's already claimed himself to be this Pharisee of Pharisees. The Pharisees knew their Bible. So if he's a Pharisee of Pharisees, why is he misquoting scripture here, stating there is none righteous, no, not one? He started a long tradition instead of Gentiles who were known to not know their Bible because they were Gentiles. They didn't follow the Father in heaven, so they were easy to deceive. And he did so, right? And here is proof. He misquoted scripture and claimed that the Father in heaven claimed that there were none righteous, no, not one. Really, where does it say that? Because in Proverbs 15:29, it says that the Father hears the prayers of the righteous. Therefore, there are righteous. So, are you starting to see the picture? Hopefully so. So then we have Acts 21:21. They are informed of you, Paul, that thou teachest all the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after the Torah. Next, let's look at Proverbs 19:23. And then we're going to compare it to 2 Timothy 1:7. Proverbs 19:23, the fear of Yahuwah becomes life for a man, and he who is without fear will stay in places where knowledge does not keep. Verses 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. So again, compare, contrast. Proverbs 19:23. The fear of Yahuwah becomes life for a man, and he who is without fear will stay in places where knowledge does not keep. Verses 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Really? That's not what Proverbs says. So, after noting that the apostle that replaced Judas was Matthias, Paul just jump in there and self-appoint himself, as it states in John 5:17, that will happen. I come in my Father's name. This is the Messiah speaking. I come in my Father's name, but you will not receive me, but one will come in his own name, and him you will receive. 1 Corinthians 1, Paul called to be an apostle. 2 Corinthians 1:1, Paul an apostle. Galatians 1:1, Paul an apostle. Ephesians 1:1, Paul an apostle. Colossians 1:1, Paul an apostle. 1 Timothy 1:1, Paul an apostle. Titus 1:1, Paul a servant of God. Next, let's look at Matthew 5:16. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Well, it seems that people don't like to dig very deep into the scriptures when it comes to prove the doctrine of salvation by faith. 100% quotes by Paul of Tarsus indicate that salvation is not by works. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 9, not as a result of works. 2 Timothy 1:9, not according to our works. Romans 3:20, not because of works. Romans 3:27, of works, no. Romans 3:28, justified apart from works. Romans 4:6, apart from works. Romans 9:11, not because of works. Romans 11:6, not on the basis of works. Galatians 2:16, not just on the basis of works. Titus 2:5, not on the basis of works. So let's let that digest a little bit. And some of my commercials may be pro-Paul, pro-faith. Just so you know, you're welcome and encouraged to visit any of the Freedomizer programs, and a good student does look at all aspects. So I'm going to take another commercial break, and some of these are very diametrically opposed to the authenticity of our program.
We talk a lot about the kingdom here, and we talk a lot about what most churches are afraid to talk about or don't even know to talk about, which is what the first century church was really doing. But just talking about it is not enough. We encourage everybody to join us in their local neighborhoods, in their local communities, to find out more about what they can do to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Gather with others who are already starting this road or starting to turn around and do things differently. Join us on thelivingnetwork.org or at hisholychurch.org. Go to the network links or go to preparingyou.com. Join the network there. It's all the same. and we'll try to hook you up with people in your local area. They will not be perfect. They don't walk on water. They are not necessarily saints, but they are talking about seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And join us on Facebook, facebook.com, His Holy Church, all one word. Join us there. We'll give you updates so you can start doing some studying and thinking about these things and start looking into these things for yourselves. But it's just not enough to sit and listen or to talk about or to say. You must become a doer of the word.
Sometimes as a Christian, it can be really hard to continue to find joy in our daily disciplines, even in biblical word Bible study. Honestly, we know we're supposed to find joy in it and get growth. That's why I named my new show Dynamic Word Bible Studies, because studying the word shouldn't leave you unchanged. It should provide dynamic growth through your life and the power of God encountered every day. I'm really excited to start this on Wednesdays from 9 to 10:30 right here on Freedomizer Radio. We're going to start out with the book of Romans, one of the most important books to my early Christian walk. So whether you've been a Christian for a long time or you're just learning about Scripture, this is going to be a great place to learn what it was that Paul was trying to tell the Church of Romans and the things that are important to us still today. Again, join me every Wednesday from 9 to 10:30 right here on Freedomizer Radio for Dynamic Word Bible Studies.
Welcome back, and that commercial needs a time zone, doesn't it? But at any rate, so welcome back, and let's take a look again at discrepancies between Paul and the Messiah. The Nazarene Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, for some from among the Gentiles have rejected my legal preaching, attaching themselves to certain lawless and trifling preaching of the man who is my enemy. These things some have attempted while I am still alive to transform my words by certain various interpretations in order to dissolution of the Torah, as though I also myself were of such a mind, but did not freely proclaim it, which Yah forbid. So that's a mouthful, and it's not in the regular Bible. I believe the Nazarene Acts of the Apostles are a superfluous book that did not get canonized. So let's read it again and see what we can ascertain from it. For some from among the Gentiles have rejected my legal preaching, attaching themselves to certain lawless and trifling preaching of the man who is my enemy. These things some have attempted while I am still alive to transform my words by certain various interpretations in order to the dissolution of the Torah, as though I also myself were of such a mind, but did not freely proclaim it, which Yah forbid. And this is Peter talking. So it sounds as though Peter may have been speaking about Paul. So let's read it a third time with that thought in mind. Peter speaking about Paul. For some, Paul, for Paul, from among the Gentiles have been, and we know that he claims to have been a Pharisee of Pharisees, but he also claims to have been from the family of Herodian, or a Herodian from the family of Herod. So he had both going on. And he also had his disciples who were Gentiles, so those who listened to him and preached what he preached. So with that thought in mind, we could insert, for the disciples of Paul, from among the Gentiles have rejected my legal preaching, attaching themselves to certain lawless and trifling preaching of the man who is my enemy. So, yeah, it is referring to disciples of the man who is his enemy, which if Paul is directly opposed to the gospel of the Father in heaven, which Peter, being a disciple of that gospel, came to preach, then that one who preached against it would be his enemy. These things some have attempted, while I am still alive, to transform my words, that's that great switcheroo we talked about, by certain various interpretations in order to the dissolution of the Torah, as though I also myself were of such a mind, but did not freely proclaim it, which y'all forbid. Okay, so that's a kind of an interesting little analysis of that. Next we have Galatians 2:11. When Peter came to Antioch, I got in his face because he was to be blamed. And this gives reference to that confrontation that we spoke about that Peter also talks about and did not make it into the Bible, and by which Acts 22 and Acts 26, it's thought that the change resulted because of this confrontation. So next, let's take a look at Proverbs 17:15, Exodus 23:7, Team Yahuwah, versus Romans 4:5, Team, and Romans 3:10, Team Paul, and see what we think about this. He that justifies the ungodly, and he that condemns the righteous, even though they both are abomination to Yahuwah. Exodus 23:7, I will not justify the ungodly. Romans 4:5, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Romans 3:10, there are none righteous. You are saved by grace, not works. So, complete opposites, once again. John 6:44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Then we have Ephesians 2:8, Romans 10:9, 1 Corinthians 6:14, 1 Corinthians 15:15. For grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ was powerless to raise himself and invite him into your heart, you'll be saved. And God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by his power. We are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:15. Of course, these verses have been changed slightly to make it very poignant, a very poignant point. That in so saying, what Paul is saying, he's saying these additional nuances. So let's look at this again. John 6:44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. But Paul says in Ephesians 2:8, for by grace ye are saved through faith, and not that of yourselves. Okay, that has not been tampered with. But Romans 10:9, when we add the word powerless to raise ourselves, raise himself, it's noting the fact that the Messiah states that for this reason the Father doth love him, that he laid his life down, and that he raised it up again. He obviously had the power, the Messiah did. But Paul says that in order to be saved, we must say that God raised the Messiah, which by virtue of that fact, you're confessing that the Messiah is powerless to raise himself and did not raise himself, contradicting the Messiah's words. So to be saved, you must contradict the Messiah's words To be saved, you must state that the Messiah did not have the power to raise himself, but that the Father did this. So it's just another point to think about. So again, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ was powerless to raise himself and invite him into your heart, you will be saved. When you really look at what it's stating, you can see how ridiculous it is. 1 Corinthians 6:14, and God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by his own power. So, 1 Corinthians 15:15, we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ. Let's look that up. I want to see if it's deviated at all. 1 Corinthians 15:15. We are even found to be God, misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. So that one has not been tampered with. That is what Paul said. He did not add any lines. So Paul is contradicting himself here. Because in Romans, Paul says that God raised Christ from the dead. And here he's saying that God did not raise Christ from the dead, if it is true that the dead are not raised. So Paul's just a mixed up man. Most days, that's the best thing I could say. Matthew 13:19, Mark 4:14, and Luke 8:5. They by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard and understand it not, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Hebrews 6, leaving the principles of the doctrine of the Messiah, let us go on unto perfection. 1 Corinthians 4:16, be ye followers of me. 1 Corinthians 4:20, for the kingdom of God is not in word. Here we go with 2 Corinthians 12:16, being crafty, I caught you with deceit. And 1 Corinthians 4:15, follow me, Christians, for even if you had 10,000 others to teach you about Christ, you have only one spiritual father, for I became your father in Christ, Jesus, when I preached the good news to you. So then we're reminded back in Matthew, where we're told not to call any man, not to call anyone father, for we have one father. Matthew 23:8, be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master, Messiah, and ye are all brethren, and call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father, which is in heaven. Neither be called masters, for one is your master, Messiah. So, the unlearned and unstable believe the epistles of Paul, became flesh, and dwelt among us. Mark 13:22, false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. But take heed, behold, I have foretold you all these things. 2 Corinthians 12:12, truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in signs and wonders. That's 2 Corinthians 12:12. Versus the team Yahuwah verse in Acts 1:21, of these men which have companied with us all the time that Master Yahushua went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John into that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection? Peter. Matthias was numbered with the 11 apostles. Paul never qualified to be an apostle, period. So thus saith Yahuwah, no stranger uncircumcised in heart nor uncircumcised in flesh shall enter into my sanctuary of any stranger that is among the children of Israel. And that's Ezekiel 44:9. Versus Galatians 5:2, behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you are circumcised, Messiah shall profit you nothing. Then we know, of course, that he turns around and circumcises Titus. I believe it was Titus, anyway, one of his followers. Well, for our radio program, that does it for us today. If you would like to email your comments to me, rachelhinfo@gmail.com, R-A-C-H-E-L, the letter H, I-N-F-O, short for information, @gmail.com, attention, free from Paul, and that way I know to open it. And we look forward to you joining us again here next week. And for now, everyone have a very wonderful week. If I can get to my dashboard.